Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, June 5th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe People First, an opposition grouping led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, says it welcomes the recent coalition pact reached by some parties in a bid to form a formidable front against ZANU-PF in the 2018 presidential elections.
We welcome that development. We urge our people to join various political organizations that are interested in bringing unity to the people of Zimbabwe. What has killed us is that the Zimbabweans are divided badly. So there is need to come together and put out our strategy together.
The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs says the government has put aside a fund to help repatriate women and girls that were trafficked to Arab states.
We are grateful that there is also a bill which is coming to Parliament to deal specifically with the human trafficking. So I can say that Zimbabwe now has gone ahead and implemented some of our recommendations in Parliament, which we had given.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says the National Railways of Zimbabwe may want to wait for a disposal order from the courts before making any plans to fire employees.
I think the best way they can do it, or if they want to get away from retrenching people, is to ask for those that are 55 to 59 years to apply and go. And then they don't have the problem of paying retrenchment package. But retrenching direct, it will cost them a lot of money.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with its Atenda Gumbo. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Zimbabwe People First, an opposition grouping led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, says it welcomes the recent coalition pact reached by some parties in a bid to form a formidable front against ZANU-PF in the 2018 elections. Zimbabwe People First interim spokesperson Rugare Gumbo says his party was not approached by the five parties which formed a coalition last week, but was willing to consider the idea. Gumbo tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri more on the issue.
We welcome that development. We urge our people to join various political organizations that are interested in bringing unity to the people of Zimbabwe. What has killed us is that the Zimbabweans are divided badly. So there is need to come together and put out our strategy together. Unfortunately, with respect to what happened yesterday, we were not consulted. I personally didn't do anything. I spoke to Amtasa and he also didn't know anything about this. We always said time and again that we are inclusive and we want all the people of Zimbabwe to come together and mobilize to remove this government, its corrupt leaders and ministers.
So are there any plans to meet with the leaders of this coalition or those who are putting together the process so that you can be part of it?
Indeed, as soon as we are ready and as soon as we get communication, there shouldn't be any reason why we can't work together. As we believe all the National Democratic Forces which are interested in our aims, objectives, and so on, are welcome. We have to work with almost all the people who are in the opposition.
There is also talk of your party holding its Congress this year. May you clarify on that?
Oh, yeah, we intend certainly to hold a Congress sometime before the end of the year. We are working on the plans, programs, and strategies of having this Congress. So it's just a time before we tell you what we intend to do, when we intend to do certain things. But we are clear there is need for Congress. We want a Congress to be held before the election, so that by the time we go for election, people will know who is who in the party. But at the present moment, it will be very difficult for us to hold a Congress without the necessary preparation. So plans are underway to try and organize this national convention, as we call it ourselves.
How about the membership drive?
No, the membership drive is going on very well. We are very happy. People are waiting perhaps to get cards, which we have completed and should be distributed as soon as possible. Of course, our capacity to mobilized people will be judged by the number of cars who will manage to sell, and we think we will sell quite a bit.
That was the interim spokesperson of the Zimbabwe People First, Rugare Gumbo, in Harare. The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs, Kindness Paraza, says government has put aside a fund to help repatriate women and girls that were trafficked to Arab states. 15 women and girls were repatriated last week under the first batch sponsored by the Social Welfare Ministry. More women and girls are reportedly running from their employers in Arab states after being allegedly mistreated and some abused sexually. Paraza tells us more on the issue.
What we have done is that I can confirm that the government, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, has already written to the Kuwaiti authorities, informing them that Zimbabwe, the country, is now banning the issuance of visa under Section 20 of the Kuwait immigration laws, banning the issuance of visas to those Zimbabwean women wishing to go and work as domestic workers in Kuwait. So that has been done. And also, we are grateful that the government also, through the Minister of Foreign Affairs and this time around the Minister of Social Welfare, has put a fund in place to make sure that they pay for the airfares of all those displaced women, domestic workers, who are still out there in the Arab countries, so that they'll be able to come back home. And we are grateful that there is also a bill which is coming to Parliament to deal specifically with human trafficking. So I can say that Zimbabwe is now gone ahead and implemented some of our recommendations as Parliament, which we had given. And as I said earlier on, we've given the report to His Excellency, our Kuwait report, and it is out of this report that the government is now acting, making these efforts to make sure that everything is in place.
For some of the people out there who are listening, who might actually have relatives that they are not aware of where they are, but they know that they went to some Arab state to work as a maid, what should they do? Where do they go to seek information?
Their first port of call is to go to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, to Mutapa, and also they can also go to the Minister of Labour, Social Welfare at Kagoi's building and see the ministers there, the various ministers or permanent secretary, so that they can at least inform them that they have their relatives who are still out there and that they are unaccounted for. And if they have the telephone numbers for their relatives, they must also bring those with them so that they can be traced and brought back home.
That was the chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs, Kindness Paraza, in Harare. Meanwhile, a young lady, Chipo Sanyika, who was repatriated from Kuwait a few weeks ago, says she is hoping to restart her life by going back to school, despite losing her educational documents in Kuwait. She tells us more on the issue.
People are very happy to come back home, and I think the government should help people to have jobs, especially those who are educated.
Have you had any opportunity to work with any other organizations after you came back from Kuwait?
Yes, we talked with ladies from Sansa Project, and they said they were going to call us, and we are just waiting for their calls.
What's your advice to some women out there who may have a job offer in some foreign country, especially Arab states?
I would like to advise them to think and search about those countries before they leave this country.
That was Chipo Sanyika, a young lady who was repatriated from Kuwait a few weeks ago. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says the National Railways of Zimbabwe may want to wait for a disposal order from the courts before making any plans to fire employees. Jonga Kanzemiri speaks with Gideon Shoko of the ZCTU on the issue.
Presently, they don't have that disposal order from the court. So ordinarily, it means they are putting the cart before the horse. The court might come up with another decision that is very different from what they are thinking. So it is just premature that they talked about that.
There were also reports that the parastatal is planning to cut down its workforce by about 70% through retrenchment. Is this another option that it can take to settle the problems that is bedeviling it?
If you are looking at 70% of the NRZ workforce, if you look at 5,700, 70% would be about 3,000 something. So they are going to remain with about 1,500. But the problem that they've got, if they want to retrench, they don't have the money. If they had the money, I believe they would go that route. But they still, when they've gone that route, they still have got a problem in that are they able to then pick up the infrastructure so that they are able to pull the loads that are needed? Because presently, the infrastructure is dead. They don't have locomotive power. Everything is dead. So are they going to be able to do that and then get away with any profit or any money that they are going to be able to make? So it's very difficult. It's just unfortunate that this thing has been going on for a long time. You remember there were about 22,500 workers. That is, was around 75. Now we understand there are 5,700. And the railways has never retrenched. Instead, what they've done is to call people that would want to move away or leave work before they reach the age of 60. And people have volunteered, but the railways have turned around and refused those people to go. And I think the best way they can do it, or if they want to get away from retrenching people, is to ask for those that are 55 to 59 years to apply and go. And then they don't have the problem of paying retrenchment package. So I think that is the way they can go. But retrenching direct, it will cost them a lot of money.
That was Gideon Shoko of the ZCTU speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kande Miri. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by a Zimbabwean currently here on the Atlas Corp program. His name is Anesu Masube. Anesu, thank you so very much for joining me.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Tatenda.
Anesu, tell us more about this Atlas Corp program. What is it all about?
Atlas Corp is a global fellowship program that is meant to identify non-profit leaders from developing countries to come and work and get trained in the U.S.
And for you, Anesu, you are working as an alumni coordinator for American Express. That sounds awesome. Tell us more about that. What exactly are you doing?
Yeah, so as you know, American Express actually is one of the biggest corporates in the U.S., but it has a philanthropic department, which is part of their customer social responsibility services. So in their philanthropic department, they partner with more than 10 organizations, you know, to implement what they call American Express Leadership Academies. In these academies, they identify leaders for non-profit organizations all over the U.S. and also outside the U.S. in countries like the U.K., Kenya, Japan, as well as Senegal. They train leaders and founders of non-profit organizations to develop their skills, you know, to develop their networks. So I will be an alumni coordinator of more than 1,000 non-profit leaders.
And how has that experience been for you, Anesu, heading this project?
I mean, it's very big, it's very huge, because it's giving me access to a lot of, you know, networks and a lot of big organizations in the U.S. It means so much to me and the youth initiatives that I represent in Zimbabwe.
Now, talking about back home in Zimbabwe, what exactly are you doing there on the ground?
So in Zimbabwe, I'm part of one of the leading youth networks in Zimbabwe. It's called the Space Zimbabwe. The Space Zimbabwe is basically a youth initiative that is seeking to convene, you know, platforms for opportunities of growth for young people. You know, in this very difficult economical situation, a lot of young educated people are seated at home and they cannot find opportunities for employment and opportunities, you know, to further their careers. So what the space does is it basically partners with international organizations to focus on how young Zimbabweans of this generation can get access to resources. I'm also a founder of a non-profit initiative that is called Opportunities for Zimbabweans. Opportunities for Zimbabweans is an online platform that seeks to provide opportunities to Zimbabweans who want to study abroad, who want to work abroad, who want to attend international youth forums abroad. It's a Facebook page that is over 4,000 likes right now, and it focuses on posting scholarships, fellowships, internships, and international youth forums that Zimbabweans are eligible to apply for.
And Anesu, just as we wrap up here, you know, there are a lot of young people who will listen to this interview and say, okay, that sounds great. Maybe he was able to do it because he has some sort of luck. But can you just tell, you know, some of the young people who are listening how easy it is for them to, one, get in touch with someone like you, but also access the resources you're talking about?
I mean, it's very easy. One piece of advice that I would want to give young people in Zimbabwe is that it really takes you to tell yourself that I want to get myself out of this situation that I am in, and there is no one who is responsible, you know, for making your life better. But I know a lot of young people, you know, need to talk to someone who has done it before, because when they see these things on the internet, they just think it's impossible to get these, you know, scholarships and fellowships. So if anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'm very open to, you know, help young people on how they can get access, or how they can, you know, sort of put their profiles and their applications out there so that they can be picked amongst, you know, the thousands and thousands of people that apply across the world. So my email is ceo@opportunitiesforzimbabweans.com. I'm very open to, you know, assist any young person that wants to get in touch with me. But also, even if you visit the page Opportunities for Zimbabweans and hit the inbox message, there is a team of young Zimbabweans that are on that network all over the world who are always ready to help and give information to young people on how they can get access to these resources.
And with that, Aniso, I want to say thank you very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you so much.
That was Anesu Masube here in the United States with Atlas Core program, currently working at American Express, joining me today on the program. This is Tatenda Gumbo, hoping you'll join me next week.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930-13860 and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. We now give you the music of Cynthia Mare with the song Daijai Vira, going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
Chisondojiwona kuhope kuwa nenguwa doshuwa daizingori hope amai famai shakana ka.
To recap on today's top stories, Zimbabwe People First, an opposition grouping led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, says it welcomes the recent coalition pact reached by some parties in a bid to form a formidable front against ZANU-PF in the 2018 presidential elections. The chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Foreign Affairs says government has put aside a fund to help repatriate women and girls that were trafficked to Arab states. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, June the 5th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.